Hey, this is the Bachelor Masters. We're doing our countdown episode leading into Charity Lawson, her new season of The Bachelorette. This is the episode where we talk about all these men based on nothing but a photograph and a short bio that they didn't write.
Yeah.
Yes, which is the only way you should judge a man.
Especially a man. Some of these bios, though, I was immediately no, immediately what? You know? What did I just read? Did you guys we watched the Bachelor season with her on it. She made it to hometowns,
Yes.
and I did not catch the first time around that her parents have been married for almost 50 years and
Wow.
she's not even 30 yet.
Oh, yeah. Did they mention that on the season? Because I don't remember.
That blew me away. So you're telling me, okay, so she's 27. Her parents have been married, it said, for over 47 years. So despite how old her brother is, 20 years into their marriage, they had a baby. Ah!
How
Right.
old is the brother? That's
I
also
don't think
a
he's
question.
that much different than her.
Yeah, I think he's older, but maybe like 5 years or something.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
When did they get married? How old are they? Why did they have a kid? I mean, no one asked these if I was Zach and I sat down, I would have been like, what?
All right, this is interesting to me, both because most people seem to assume the reason to get married is to have children, right? So the concept of waiting, let's say her brother is roughly 5 years older than her. So that means they would have started having their kids 15 years into marriage. It is interesting.
Is so crazy. I mean, let's just say it's not the point of getting married is to have kids, but wouldn't you have this conversation or this back and forth much earlier on? I mean, what happened? What happened?
Maybe it's an
Point blank,
accidental baby. I think I
no
was an
judgment.
accident.
That they had two accidental children. I mean, it happens, I
And two,
guess.
I guess, is a little less common than one, but
I think my biggest like what is the fact that they're still married, because 20 years, let's just say she is the oldest, of no kids, and then later in life kids could tear your marriage apart, and then they're still married when they're out of the house.
how old do you think her parents were when they got married? Are they
Very
around
young.
18?
18, yeah.
I think maybe even before that. They're in Georgia. I gotta say it. Someone
You
has to
said
say
it,
it.
not me.
I had to say it. I mean, I don't think it was, forced or anything like that, but you can get married very young there, right? Legally.
Well, I think you need a parent's permission if you're under 18 still.
Right.
But
But
yes.
can.
But you could if a if one of your parents consented to it, get
Talk
married.
about an example, though. Imagine like living three different types of lives with the same person. You
Yeah.
know, you're a teenager, and then you're married with no kids, and then you're older with kids, and then you're empty nesters. I mean, that is lifetimes. No, people live one of those. You know, these people have lived it all together. That is amazing. My grandparents were married for 50 years, and they had crazy. I mean, this is like weird wartime stuff, but this is just regular everyday. You know, nothing kept them together or kept them apart. Like, it's kind of shocking to me.
Also shocking to me, at least, is that throughout this whole couple months off that we've had, you've continued EZR to listen to the Chris Harrison podcast.
Oh yes, and boy do I have stories for you, but we'll do the cast
No,
first.
I've given up on the Brotherly Love podcast starring Joey Lawrence, Matthew Lawrence, and Andy Lawrence, but you continue to rage on with Chris Harrison for some reason.
Well, there's not much. It's not an active, listen. It's a passive listen while I'm putting away stuff. I mean, I listen to the radio all day long and I
Yeah.
have honestly ran out of things to listen to. That's so hard in this podcast day and age. So it's not hard.
Don't I can feel recommend sorry for me. A couple if you want.
No, thank you.
Do you listen to Vanderpump Robs with our boss, Rob?
I have, yeah, even though I have no, I mean, I have a general idea, but I honestly, it makes me want to watch the episodes, and I do not want to watch the episodes. You got me?
Of Vanderpump Rules,
yeah. Vanderpump Rules, right.
Yeah.
But I did want to watch the astrology homework. You guys got me with that one. I want to see someone do astrology homework. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about.
Oh, because of Allie. Yeah, Allie was doing astrology homework. She's doing homework for some sort of astrology class that she's taking.
Oh, man.
That's when I guessed it on Vanderpump Robs.
Yeah.
I was like, you can come at me. But to me, it's the funniest thing that she's doing homework for astrology.
Oh, man. I want to see that.
Do you know what we're talking about, Caitlin?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're better for it. Okay, so we'll get to the Chris Harrison podcast, but let's start off with Caitlin, our favorite Caleb in the bunch of the cast.
How many Calebs are there?
There's three Calebs. One's with a K though, so he's like a, well, they gave him an initial anyway because they're pronounced the same. So when you're saying it out loud, you have to. Yes. So there's Caleb A, Caleb B, and Caleb K.
Let's call him Caleb C. No, I'm just kidding. Caleb K, which actually makes sense because he's the Caleb with the K.
Yes, which is an interesting. I'm like, is his last name actually with a K, or are they doing something wild here and being like, just call him Caleb with the K?
So that differentiates with them. Okay, so Caleb A.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy is a doctor.
Yes.
Caleb B is the wrestler, Craig. The wrestler. The legit wrestler on NXT. His name on NXT is Kale, like the
Wait, what?
Dixon.
Back the podcast up here.
Okay.
You got to speak language that us non-wrestling fans would understand. What the hell is NXT?
Well, look, we're going to pick NXT is the, it's like the seedling show for people that want to make it on the big show. And they're kind of more athletic in my point. And like sometimes they're a little bit more, they seem more athletic to me. So if you want to be on SmackDown or Raw, you start off on NXT.
So this guy's like legit, basically.
He is legit, but we'll get into that. That's Caleb B. And then there's Caleb with a K, who's a, I mean, he sounds, talk about well-rounded. He's like a football player. He's like a, what else? Caleb with a K? Caleb K?
A construction salesman is what his job says. He's from Georgia, which Charity is also from Georgia. So I'm assuming that's like a thing that they will discuss.
Right. They both went to Auburn.
So there's that. Yeah, I got to say, when we mentioned this via text, that there were three Calebs in this cast, and I said, pick your favorite Caleb to discuss. it was harder to pick a favorite than I thought it would be. Actually, these are some decent contenders, all three Calebs.
Decent Calebs. Okay, so.
What is a Caleb?
Go ahead. It's these guys.
Is there like an entomology to Caleb?
All right, I'm going to look up Caleb name meaning real quick.
Okay, Craig, just pick your favorite Caleb, damn it.
Okay, it's a Hebrew name that means wholehearted or dog-like.
Okay.
Dog-like. Oh, my goodness.
Well, of course I like the pro wrestler.
Of course.
Just because I'm a huge wrestling fan.
You know, but go ahead. I'll let you speak.
Yeah, no, I choose Caleb B for sure.
Okay,
I
want read their fun facts, Craig?
I want him to tear his shirt off and go, yeah, snap it to a Slim Jim.
Oh, I love slapping into a Slim. Yep. I understand that. Okay. Caitlin, your favorite Caleb?
Okay, this was a hard choice. I'm going with the Dr. Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
One, he's a doctor. That's cool. It does say he works 80 hours a week currently, which, you know, is not great, obviously. But I assume if you're going to marry a doctor, you kind of know that they have crazy hours like earlier in their career. And that's what that is.
Right.
He's wearing a very cozy looking sweater in his head.
Yeah, it's not exactly. It's like a blue. Well, describe it.
It's
for
sort
us.
Of like a blue and white, like marl kind of situation. It looks very comfortable, so I liked that. I was like, that's a cozy sweater. And I liked his fun facts the best of the three Calebs. So his are, Caleb A has a pet salamander that he refuses to name until the right one fits. Hmm. Caleb A loves picnics. And Caleb A's guilty pleasure is trash pizza. I don't know what trash pizza is, but... It sounds like it's a good guilty pleasure.
7-Eleven pizza.
So he'll never be around, but he'll go on a picnic with you on his very limited time off.
Yes. And honestly, and he'll be wearing a cozy sweater, which tells me he's a cozy person who likes cozy things. His bio basically says, all right, so he completed his medical training, ready to turn the page on new chapter and focus on finding love. Currently working 80 hours a week, he spends his days off unwinding on hikes, catching up with friends, or having a relaxed night in with a movie and takeout.
Boring.
Cozy.
Mm-hmm. No, it would be cool is if during his time off, he was a pro wrestler for NXT.
See, here's the issue, though. Like, for me, Charity is 27, right? This guy is 29. He seems a little, like, you know, that sounds appealing to me, too, Caitlin. But when you're in your late 20s, does it? I mean, it seems a little, you know,
as a person
first
in my
gear.
Mid to late-ish 30s where I'm like, mm-hmm. he has a good job and he likes relaxing. That sounds good. mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, here's my problem with Caleb A. What is the deal here? He's one of the few people who has a real job. I mean, we haven't fact-checked this, but according to the bio, he has a real job. And I can't imagine going to all that school to throw it away for Instagram, because that's ultimately the goal here, right? Can you imagine a situation where he decided to, he did all this and then he's like, I do not want to be a doctor. This is rough. I don't, this is hard. That's, right. Or this is stressful or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I have an alternate theory, which is mm-hmm. it does not say what type of specialization he's going to be in. There are some doctor specializations where being, say, like a celebrity doctor is a bonus. Say if he were a plastic surgeon.
Pimple popper, MD.
No, but if he's working 80 hours, that means he's probably an ER doctor.
You work that much no matter what.
Yeah, I think residents have to work crazy hours anyway, like regardless, because I think they also don't they have to do like stints in other departments besides their specialization.
So you think he's working towards it. Okay.
Yeah, I think they have crazy schedules, and it's possible his ultimate goal is the type of doctor where like he would have his own private practice, and being well known on Instagram might be a boon for that.
Okay. So it is like that's Brian Abasolo, Rachel Lindsay, the Bachelorette's husband was also a doctor, and he's still, I don't think I follow him on Instagram. I might. And I think he's still practicing. Like, I know Rachel Lindsay is no longer a lawyer, but these people with good actual real jobs on The Bachelor are so rare that I'm always like, why? But I guess that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. If you're like a plastic surgeon, maybe like a dermatologist, I could see also being a good like social media doctor sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially, yeah. I think he does wear scrubs every once in a while, Rachel Lindsay's husband.
I don't want no scrub.
Okay,
a scrub
Caleb
is a guy that
B,
can't
though.
Get no love from me.
Craig, do you want to talk about the wrestler?
I think I'm Caleb'd out here.
Okay, well, I just want to...
We've only done one Caleb.
Caleb B, if you remember Kenny... That kind of was also a wrestler.
We're really
you guys remember
talking
him?
About Caleb B again?
This is the wrestler.
Yeah, we barely talked about him at the beginning.
I have to say something about him because
there's
this
like
is very
30 other contestants.
No, this is important. The same way we're talking about Caleb A and his possible how the point of him going on the show, despite, you know, maybe love, Here's Caleb. Here's the deal with Caleb B. Caleb B just premiered on NXT. And just for reference, on NXT, as all wrestlers do, they have other names. His name on NXT is Kale Dixon. Just FYI. Okay, so he's doing this all at once. He's just got on NXT in January. He went on The Bachelorette. I mean, does that seem like an awesome, like, just do it all? You know, throw your hat in the ring for everything and break through to Raw or to SmackDown or whatever he wants to do. He's obviously in the WWE world already. So, interesting choice, right? To go on The Bachelorette of all things. And I think this is kind of a move because football players, so many football players on The Bachelorette. So many pageant queens on The Bachelor. Wrestlers coming in slowly, moving in. So that's kind of my unofficial take on it there. Because he's doing it all. He's doing too much, too.
Do you think he takes steroids?
He looks... I've seen a little bit of a, you know, some moves or whatever. I watched like a piece of the NXT. You know, you never know. He doesn't look gigantic, so maybe.
I like some of these pictures where they show what they look like when they first break into wrestling and then what they look like after, and they bulked up 50 pounds or something. Yeah.
Okay, we can move on now to all of the other guys.
Before we move on, I want to say about Caleb B, here are the things that made me not choose him. He's 24, so he's a couple of years younger than Cherry.
He's doing it all.
And he's from Orlando, Florida, which...
Well, just FYI, that's where NXT films.
Okay, so maybe he's not from there. That would be
better. Well, we got to talk about Ron DeSantis now and his ascendancy.
Going to talk about Ron DeSantis. I don't have time or patience for that. I will say the things I did like about Caleb B, he has got wrestler hair, pro wrestler hair. That's kind of cool. It's a little different. And his fun facts include that he can't control himself around donuts. And I'm like, that's relatable. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Good thing we care about just the C Calebs and not the K Caleb. Okay. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, with that man, what he did to not earn my vote as favorite Caleb. Caleb K says he doesn't like mayonnaise. That's one of his fun facts. And I'm sorry, that's the wrong opinion. Mayo is delicious.
Yeah, it is so good on everything.
And there's so many flavored mayos you can have. Like, how could you not like it?
People don't like creamy stuff. I've noticed it's a texture issue on bread. I think. I mean, I don't know what Caleb's opinion is, but it just is a kid opinion, though. It's like a kid thing. Like, I don't think
it's like you didn't try it again as an adult and be like, actually, this rules.
I tell everyone that about mustard and onions. Just do it. You're going to like it now. I promise. Okay.
Mustard and onions?
Not together, but people forgot. They said, I never liked mustard as a kid. I never liked onions as a kid. And then because it's on everything, even kids' stuff. And then put it on the don't like it list, and they've never tried it again as their taste buds have matured. Look, off topic. Go on, Craig, with your pushing us along thing here.
Well, there's a Caleb.
You want to talk about Craig.
But there's the Caleb, but then there's also the Khalid. He's a tech recruiter from Michigan.
Are you trying to add him to the Calebs?
It's just a similar name. Kind
of. No.
It's not exactly the same.
You know what's interesting here is that I know that... okay. So I'm going to draw another line in the sand between past Bachelor, the old guard, and the new guard. The old guard, they would definitely try to make everyone All-American despite their... whatever their backgrounds were. All the contestants. No, we're talking about all the contestants, but you brought it up by saying his name. Now, in the bios, they're trying to give you who they are, how they are not, in quotes, All-American, by making sure you know who they are with little hints, right? They said Caleb with a K has Korean heritage. They said Warwick, oh my God, the end of names right there, has Japanese heritage. They make sure to tell you about this guy's Muslim faith. They had these little hints all around, which they did not used to do. Is it progress or is it kind of signaling? I don't know. But I thought it was a very, like, I've never known anyone's racial or ethnic background on the show ever, except for a few years ago.
Okay, I'm going to date myself. Mm-hmm. Who is SZA?
Oh, SZA?
SZA? He's a rapper.
Okay, because it says when he's not working, he's hitting the gym and jamming out to SZA. Mm-hmm. See, I'd put Van Halen there.
Great.
This was my bio.
Good. Wow. Well, that's for the AARP Bachelor or whatever it's called.
The Golden yeah, the Bachelor.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that to happen. I'm very excited for the old ones. Yeah, I'm interested because Khalid is, all right, they explicitly mention he has a big Muslim family. One thing we do know about Charity is she's an extremely religious Protestant Christian, right? I don't think that's going to pan out. I don't think she could date somebody who is not at least vaguely Christian.
Right.
Yeah.
No argument there.
Is there anyone particularly you guys want to talk about? Because I have two people that I was like,
I would like to talk about Ron DeSantis.
Nope. Moving on.
Craig, he's not trying to date Charity. So,
you know who I thought was a great match for Charity? Actually, just looking at him, Michael.
Okay, let's look at Michael.
Look at Michael. His bio, everything he said to me was like, oh, that's so Charity, just by knowing her from the show. But I don't know. That's just my, like, one-off take.
Michael from Chicago. He's a yacht captain.
Yacht captain is an interesting sounding job.
Weird. So he owns a yacht and he rents it out for parties.
Either that or he's like, well, Craig could probably speak to this more. Like, he's on below deck sort of thing. He's the captain of that.
And, you know, they have a big seafaring community in Chicago because of the lake right there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'd be cool to see him on below deck as a crossover.
The one totally
below IG deck guy Chicago.
has to be the Guinness Book of Records guy, right? That guy.
Oh, he can only backflips higher than anyone else.
Yeah, he can only live off of being online. I mean, there's not really where to go after you turn like 28. I don't know.
Wait, which one's backflip guy?
That guy, Chris. His name is Chris.
So Guinness Book once of again, Records. this stupid ABC page. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to navigate.
It is annoying, so frustrating. Navigate. And you think it'd be like, you know, phone friendly, like a mobile version. And that's what we're looking at, but it's not. It's just horrible.
I'm on my laptop, so I have it in.
Me too.
Also on my laptop, but I've got my external monitor plugged in so I can, you know, get. Well, all right. So here's what I guess a few things about Chris, the world record jumper. what he lists as his hometown is basically a place I've been to many, many times in my life. It's in my home county.
White
Plains, New York. I would count this as a red flag if it were me. I don't want to date anyone who lives in Westchester County. But also this man, his fun facts are weird. His first one is his favorite sport is dunking.
Well, yeah, how do I say this? Like, all he does is the extreme part of the sport. You know, he does the crazy part of the sport.
It's just so weird. Also, he explicitly mentions in his bio that if he could be a superhero, he would be the Flash.
He'd be the Flash?
Well, he's all about doing the fast things.
Yeah, so I don't know.
He's 27, and that's why I think, you know, he's, what are you going to do? You haven't broken through that much to be that famous. He has Guinness Book of Records, but then what? You know, what happened to those Guinness Book of Records makers in the 90s? They're dead now. I'm just kidding. They're probably fine, but they're not making money off of those records.
No, I mean, I think most of those people don't make any money off of holding that record. It's just a thing that they like to have. You know,
it should be supplemental. It shouldn't be the thing in your bio.
It's like a thing that you're like, oh, I did this on purpose so I could hold this record. And all right, his remaining fun facts both also sound extremely fake to me. He likes to go apple picking in the autumn. Okay. And he likes to drink wine and binge watch Grey's Anatomy. Those sound like a fake made up person fact. You know, like
this you is think not a real man. He is trying to be what women want.
Yes. I think he's like, I'm trying to be fall man, the man who loves autumn and wearing sweaters. And ladies like Grey's Anatomy and wine. So I'm into that too.
So he's like fake Caleb A.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think he's like trying to fit into a, you know,
bachelor.
Yes.
Like
trying to fit into a specific box, and it's trying too hard.
Gotcha. Well, he definitely tries very hard to break Guinness Book of World Records. Okay, Craig, this one really stood out to me, and I think it would stand out to you too. His name is Dodden. I'm sure, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Hold on, let me get back to the
go
here.
To Dodden. He's 30. Integrative medicine specialist. Not sure exactly what
integrative medicine specialist from Brooklyn.
Yeah. Who? Okay. All of that. Whatever. Bio. Whatever. Dodham would love to be the head of the CIA.
That George Bush Senior, baby.
What? Why? Huh? What? Okay. If that was me, you are cut. Right now, but also
I think
why?
what he's trying to signal is that he wants to be a spy, but he doesn't realize that the head of the CIA is a administrative civil service job,
right? Spy. And it's also a greasing palms, a like face on when you get in, you know, when you get put up in front of Congress because you murdered all these you were in charge when all these dirty wars happen. I mean, what is that? Why would you do that? I as a Bachelor fan, if I found this guy, I would ask him so many questions about this. I don't think people know. I hope he doesn't know what he's saying.
Right.
You would hope that, right?
Yeah. I was like,
I want to be in charge of murdering civilians abroad is what he's saying. Is there any other interpretation of that?
Marriage.
Yeah. Is there any other interpretation of that?
No, I mean, I think what he's trying to say, based on the rest of his bio, where he mentions, you know, zest for life, and even once went on a spontaneous 45-day trip around Europe. I think he's thinking CIA equals spy equals traveling around the world being exciting.
Jason Bourne.
Yes, I think that's kind of what he's thinking, because he likes travel, and he wants to be like a TV show spy, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly. Well, remember there was that contestant a couple years ago that was he was a fighter jet designer for Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
And he was like, I have a zest for life.
But he was already doing the murdering.
Yeah.
He was already in that. This guy, his job seems to have nothing to do with the CIA.
Yes. It's all a big mystery.
I don't know. When I think CIA front company. Like, you know, like a cover, I think integrative medicine specialist.
I mean, I think a fake job, right? You want something that both sounds like a real thing that people are like somewhat familiar with, but also sounds boring enough that nobody really wants to talk to you about your work. And this might hit that, because I have no idea what an integrative medicine specialist does, but I also haven't cared enough to Google it. So,
Okay. This contestant that I'm going to bring up now scares me less, yet if there was no mention of CIA, he would scare me and he would be my like hone in on this guy. His name is Spencer, which is already red flag central.
Trust a Spencer.
Never trust a Spencer, any Spencer. He's 32. He's a medical sales director. Also questionable, iffy job. I mean, it's not questionable. It's not good. Also killing people, but differently, obviously not as, proactively. Okay.
He's from Moore Park, California.
Yes, he's from Moore Park.
Sort of Thousand Oaks.
Mega rich place. Okay. He's from an insane, I'm guessing he's from an insanely rich city. And then he dreams of running for political office one day to help his community. Help his community what?
Get richer, of course.
Right. What could you possibly offer one of the richest cities and one of the richest counties in the richest state in the fifth largest economy in the world? I am curious. This is another guy I would definitely corner. Third guy I would definitely corner is Josh.
Hold on.
Okay, go to Josh, everybody.
You're going a little fast here.
Okay.
It says Spencer's hero is Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, see? He tries to throw you off with the Jack Kerouac and the Bourdain. But what is his real deal? I feel like at first I was like, okay, I can see what he's trying to do, but what's he trying to do? You know? So anyway.
So who's the next guy?
All right, the
so
next Josh guy is Josh.
Is a red flag for me, too. And I hadn't even read his full bio. The thing that was red flaggy to me, scrolling through these men, was his job is Harvard grad student.
Josh.
That's his job. Yes.
Yeah, we're on to Josh now. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, he's studying.
Why does that give you a red flag?
Okay. So, feeling? And I mean, I say this as a person.
He's a grad student at 20. I mean, he's a grad student at like the age you should be, right? Like,
it's
is there
the
anything
right age,
iffy?
But there's something to me about, instead of just saying graduate student or like the field that he's in, you know, like
he had
sociology
to say Harvard.
Grad student or something. They had to put Harvard in there.
Yeah.
Right?
They love an Ivy League person.
Pedigreed and all that, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, it just rubs me the wrong way. I feel like he might be the kind of guy who would be like, I go to school in a small town outside of Boston.
That's funny. Who was the guy that was from Harvard?
Bennett.
Bennett.
No, not Bennett. The other guy. The guy on Bachelor in Paradise that kept hooking up at the wrong time with the wrong people the Harvard mathematician.
Harvard, but I think Bennett went to Harvard too, right?
Oh,
yeah, Bennett was like.
Well, Bennett was definitely a family like enrollee, not
a legacy. Yeah.
A legacy hire. Okay. Josh, Craig, you're going to like this. Nonprofit. He worked for a nonprofit that built international affordable housing. That is my red flag. I don't believe that it's altruistic. I don't believe that I don't believe it's a true, it's a nonprofit. I think nonprofit now means anything. International affordable housing. Now, as we all know, the word affordable is no longer subjective. It's now a very objective term based on AMI. Where, annual medium income. Where is this international affordable housing? What are you talking about? Like, it does not sound, I know they can't really go into it in a bio, but that also cornerable.
So you think it's like Saudi Arabia or something?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is, free trade agreement zones where they have to build basically jail for workers that.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't sound real. It doesn't sound true. Something about it is way off. I don't trust it at all. What's going on?
Reading his bio, I think he's actually going to go very far on this season.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. Okay. One of his fun facts. He says his favorite holiday is Easter. You know what that's signaling? Christian.
Right.
So lines up with charity in that way. Number two. I just got to read this bio to you. The way they have written it is this man is a saint. He is the best man who has ever existed. So, all right, here we go. To call Josh selfless would be an understatement. Josh gave up both a lucrative career on Wall Street and a grad program at Harvard to work for a nonprofit building international affordable housing. He says he's happiest when knowing I've made someone else's day better, which includes his two younger brothers whom he helped raise. Josh isn't afraid to wear his heart on his sleeve, and he puts a lot of effort into romantic gestures. He comes from a tight-knit family and is ready to start a family of his own. He hopes to have 4 kids one day. When Josh isn't busy making the world a better place with his work, he loves playing board games and grabbing a drink at a speakeasy bar. After getting accepted into Harvard for a second time, Josh is ready to begin the next chapter of his life, and he hopes that starts with charity by his side.
Wow.
Everything about this says, this is the perfect man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's written in a way to say, like, he's selfless. He wants to have kids. He clearly has a Christian background. Wow, he's so smart. He loves making other people's days better.
I think, I mean, okay, the Easter thing, I think, is just kind of weird because no one, like, likes Easter.
Yeah, no one
likes
that holiday.
Right. Except unless you're a kid and you like eggs or whatever. But here's the thing with Josh. Dodden, I'm guessing I'm pronouncing this his name right, the one wants to be the head of CIA. No harm done yet, right? Spencer wants to run for political office. Also, not yet. But this guy, what has he done? Like, this is the one guy that if I had all three of them in front of me at, like, a bachelor event, I would be like, what are you talking about? Like, what exactly did you do and where did you do it and what did you base affordability on? Anyways, I feel like he's done harm in the world. So that's where I'm at. I'm sorry. Oh, might be a saint on the show, but
he previously worked on Wall Street. So, you know, he did do some form of harm in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. Sure. But walked away from a job, meaning he never took it or meaning he.
No, it says he gave up a lucrative career on Wall Street. So I'm assuming that means he worked there and he decided to leave the job.
I feel like that still could mean that he just didn't take the job. But anyway, I get what you're saying. And yes, he is. The thing is, I hate to be like a judger of facers, of his face, but he doesn't look like a scary bad guy the way the Spencers of the world do. So he looks sweetish, you know, he looks innocent-y. So, no, yeah, but I would definitely ask him some questions. Anyways, commercial
Let's talk
break.
About Easy Chris Harrison crush. Podcast. I can tell you already. Oh. I know who Easy R likes.
Who?
Joey. He's
all right,
the tennis pro.
Tennis pro.
From
Hawaii.
I am curious about this because I looked up the town in Hawaii to be like, hey, where is that? It's on Kauai, which is, my guess is he's a tennis pro at a fancy resort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, physically, you mean, Craig?
Yeah, he kind of looks like Leo meets Greg Grippo.
Meets, yeah, definitely. And meets, what's his name? Brandon.
Oh, yes. Of the Piper and Brandon.
Yes.
Instagram debacle.
So mm-hmm. I was right. This is your crush for the season.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You got me pegged there. I can't really see much here. I mean, I'm not really. These pictures are not great of anybody. Not even of this guy. But, I mean, a tennis pro, whatevs. I mean,
what does that mean? You know, stays fit.
Play on the clay. Then we'll talk. Okay.
He's
a diehard
Mallorca, huh?
Go ahead. Joey is a diehard Green Bay Packers fan.
Mm-hmm.
So that means he's actually from Wisconsin.
Well, that doesn't mean that though.
No.
People are weird about that team and the 49ers and the Cowboys. Like, people who have never set foot in Texas are huge Cowboy fans. It's weird, right? Football's weird like that.
It's very weird. Uh-huh. I would say, all right, a man that I have picked out as I think Charity would like him is Aaron B., the 29-year-old software salesman from San Diego. First of all, he's got a cute face. So right out of the gate, that's obviously a good sign. But yeah, when they're talking about, all right, he's a former football player. You know, everyone loves that on this show. Let's see. He mentioned specifically reading James Patterson novels, which is just funny to me for some reason. He likes Cajun food. That seems good. Yeah, I think he just seems like he seems very normal in this bio. So he seems like a handsome, normal man.
Peanut butter straight from the jar.
That means he says.
Yes, he needs his protein very
bad. It literally says he eats peanut butter from the jar.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Aaron B. eats peanut butter straight from the jar. What does that even mean?
It means that he needs his protein and he doesn't want to mix it with carbs. I mean, I think that's what that means. That's what anyone would do that for.
Right.
I thought it meant, you know, sometimes he puts a spoon in a jar of peanut butter and he just licks the peanut butter off of it.
Oh, no.
I mean, I do that.
I think as a football player, you just need to get as much fats in you as you can and not be, like you said, like a refrigerator, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll take a commercial break and we'll come back and we'll talk about the Chris Harrison podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, go.
Looking for your next audio binge? Bridge Burner is an independent podcast collective with all types of shows guaranteed to bring you hours of enjoyment. Podcasts like Reenacted, an unsolved mysteries podcast. On Reenacted, hosts Robert and Crystal watch and discuss the classic episodes of Unsolved Mysteries. They don't take themselves or the program seriously. They're just a couple of dummies who love unsolved mysteries. Or try Piloting Error, a crash course in abandoned media. Hosts Joe and Stu and guests walk scene by scene through television pilots that were aired but never picked up for series. It's a time capsule of the bizarre. Maybe you'll enjoy Bill and Rob's An Excellent Adventure, where hosts Bill and Rob find the joy in watching a lackluster series of films like Predator or pre-MCU Marvel films. Hey, you could even check out The Bachelor Masters, a non-corporate show about the Bachelor franchise. What does the Bachelor series say about society? This podcast will let you know. If these shows sound fun, then you'll definitely enjoy Pumpkin Spice Podcast, a seasonal treat where comedy and horror movies meet all year long. But wait, there's more. Bridgeburner also has access to two Mike Sachs exclusives. Randy, the full and complete audio memoir of the amazing life and times of Randy S., and Passing on the Right. Both hilarious pieces of audio fiction created by the award-winning writer Mike Sachs. If you have a podcast that you think would fit with the Bridgeburner Collective, reach out to any of these shows, and they'll let you know how to join. Remember, 5 stars are our favorite. We love reviews. And also, share every single one of these podcasts in your group chat. It's Bridgeburner, and you can see more at bridgeburner.page.
And we're back. Is there something we could talk about before we talk about Chris Harrison's podcast? As exciting as that sounds.
Well, let me tell you why it is exciting here.
Okay, please. From the most give us Sylvia.
Not
please.
Bitter at all. Chris Harrison podcast.
I'm also just self-centered narcissist.
Okay, I said my piece on the Chris Harrison podcast. You know, the podcast itself, like I said, I'm not listening for this. I'm listening as like a very, very laid back listen. There is no, I'm not rewinding it if I miss something. There's nothing much there. It's settling in though to a D-list promotions. So if you're a D-lister or below, well, mostly below, if you're a reality show, someone who does, no one remembers, but you want to start some, you know, tiny little shop, you will go on the Chris Harrison podcast. Although he thinks he's courting big time.
Okay. I don't mean to be rude, but this is all stuff we've covered in past installments of the Chris Harrison podcast.
We've covered the fact that he's like just doing that now. He thinks he's doing big time, but he's actually doing this nobody's. Okay, fine. Let me tell you the exciting part though. There's these cracks in the veneer, right? He, at worst, it's a boring commercial, but at best, it's this tightrope act. More evidence to what we've already says. He wants his job back. So there's 3 episodes I want to highlight. It'll go quickly. There's the Claire episode where Claire Crawley got married to some dude. Okay. Any questions about Claire Crawley getting married?
The happy union of Claire Crawley and some dude.
Some dude, she didn't have anyone at her wedding, like maybe 2 other people were, like there was a witness.
Isn't that how you want it?
I don't want to get, like, no, not even that. That would be an expression of love. That's, no,
oh my God. How dare there be an expression of love?
Ugh. Even saying that bothered me. Forget about that, though. Claire tried to flip the script a little bit, and he started saying how he was, he's doing the thing where throughout, okay, so let me unrewrite history for you guys, for everyone, including
unrewrite history. Okay.
Yes. Let me get to it then. Actual history on our TV screens is that for 20 years, let's say, or however long Chris Harrison was the host, he was an uppity little asshole, right? Who treated contestants like shit, who treated audience like peasants, correct?
I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
Okay, but let's just say if there was that and being a gracious host, which one was he? To me, he was 100% a dick on TV all the time. Okay. And he said whatever he wanted. Now he's playing this like, oh, you know, I had to do what they asked of me. Okay, so here's him and Claire kind of exchanging that.
Obviously, I didn't reach out to people and I didn't keep those relationships as close as I normally would. I felt like I kind of abandoned you to a certain degree while you were going through all your crap.
You know so much behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. And there's so many questions that I had where it was like, ooh, I want to ask him so bad. But then it's like, does he have the show's loyalty? Does he have, you know, because I think at the end of the day, I think there's two different agendas. Yeah. And
well, I mean, I'll
never know where you fall.
Honestly, for me, it was both.
Yeah.
And that was part of the friction of me being on the show, and partly why things happened the way they did is because I didn't always tote the company line.
Yeah.
And I didn't always do what they wanted me to do, which I got some knockdown, drag out fights with people because they would all ask me to do something or say something, go into Claire and do this.
Yeah.
And I would say, no, I'm not that horrible of a human being. I'm not going to do that to her. I know where she is mentally right now and emotionally. And so it worked out because I felt like I could always be the voice of reason and say, okay, what if we did this?
Or
I know what you're trying to get to. How about we do it this way? Yeah. And a lot of times it worked out.
Yeah.
Because cooler heads would prevail. And there was a certain someone who wasn't on set with us most of the time, so it really helped.
Yeah.
And so, because again, I think most of the producers were along those same lines as well.
Yeah.
We had a job to do, but we don't need to ruin this person's life.
Yeah.
True. Even though sometimes we would anyway.
But we don't need to ruin this person's life.
Even though sometimes we did, is what he said at the end there. Okay. So the unrewriting history part here is that he definitely was a dick and he definitely did those things, but he's like, look, behind the scenes, I was trying to stand up for you. For you, the contestant, you, the lead, you, the whatever, you know? So here he's saying, I wasn't a victim. I stood up for myself and everyone else, right? Okay. Then there's an episode. So big news in Bachelor World, big bombshell news. Mike Fleiss, executive producer, creator of the show, left the show.
Who we sat next to for
we did sit next to
dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Chris Harrison has a major podcast freakout. He emergency podcasts. I'm not kidding. He had a show. He has a show. Let's say Mondays it comes out, like, more or less.
Chris Harrison. We're still talking about Chris Harrison.
Chris Harrison podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
Chris Harrison podcast came out with a two-parter that week. After he already did his obligatory one, he has it's a crack up. You know, he has like, oh my God, he's exited. Where he reveals in this episode, Chris Harrison reveals that he has two conditions for coming back on The Bachelor. One of them is if Mike Fleiss exits, signaling to us and to anyone who's listening, aka Bachelor producers, hey, if you want me back, do the other thing, which we don't know what the other thing is, but you're halfway there. Now, Chris Harrison is also the bad that Mike Fleiss is known for, right? Like, he's not, to me, they're linked. There is no Chris Harrison without Mike Fleiss.
Hey, Caitlin, did you ever watch Unreal?
I watched the first season, but not the other one.
Yeah, me too. They paint Mike Fleiss to be a total creeper.
Oh, yeah. Like, he has a reputation is insane. His reputation is out of control, right? Beyond what anyone, beyond any stories. I mean, everyone says how horrible he is. Anyways, look. I won't bore you with the audio. But basically, he brings in this guy who's doesn't work for Deadline Variety or any of the other Hollywood, businessy things, to break down what happened because Chris Harrison legally cannot. Right. So here's where it gets interesting. One of the last episodes up to date, you know, we are whatever, it's episode 42, but it's one of the last, he broadcast this last week. Do you guys know what happened with the PGA LIV Golf merger?
Yeah, so LIV Golf is run by the Saudis. The Saudis financed 9/11, and now the Saudis are going to merge LIV Golf with the PGA Tour, which means that the Saudis are going to be co-owners of golf, even though they financed 9/11.
Right, and...
Sorry, the explanation just sounds so silly, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. I was hearing vague stuff like the... LIV Tour existed for a little bit before the merger, and it was like competing with PGA, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And PGA as a entity had to say, we are, that is the enemy. Exactly what you said, Craig. They would use mention 9/11 as the PGA. Like how, why in any world would they mention it? Oh, they're the enemy. And as they were competing, because LIV Golf with money was attracting players off the PGA Tour to LIV Golf.
Yeah.
They were saying, they're the bad guys, we're the good guys. And Caitlin, you were talking about some Netflix show that's a Formula One racing show. There was some also a golf version of that on Netflix where during the PGA LIV Golf rivalry, where PGA was the angelic All-American and LIV Golf was the like Saudi bad guys on the Netflix show. On the Netflix show.
I'm imagining like a true patriot would never play for LIV Golf.
Yes, yes, yes. Stuff like that, right? And a lot of people on
to be fair, if I had
to pick LIV Golf.
If I had to pick like an enemy of the United States, like if someone said, who's the enemy of the United States? Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Yeah.
So it is an evil entity that's merging with golf.
And America is the good guy here.
In this particular, when compared to the Saudis, I think America is a gooder person. Yes.
Okay. I'll leave it at that.
America's slogan is gooder person.
Gooder than the Saudi Arabia.
There's so much there, right? There's the antitrust conversation, the oil money, the royalty. Somehow, Chris Harrison makes this about him.
Okay.
That's absurd on its face, right? Yeah. Can you imagine that there's so much there? We just talked about everything that's actually important there. And somehow, Chris Harrison turned around and made it about him. I am like,
okay, so how did he do that? Let's play the clip.
So let's play. Okay, so I'm going to tell you first because I have to set it up. Okay. There's some things I have to tell you. So LIV Golf, Saudi money, and the player, the number one player on their team is Bruce Koepka, who they lured away with money from PGA.
And then, he won a major or something.
Right.
Like, well,
and that's how LIV, made their like mark in competing against PGA. The commissioner of PGA, his name is Jay Moynihan. Chris Harrison on his podcast very bluntly, and I'm sure flirting with NDA things he cannot touch, compared him to Mike Fitz. And the pawn in this is the PGA player. His name is Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
Who is this sweet, unsuspecting, innocent PGA player who was just trying to stand up for PGA. And now that they merged, what's this guy going to do, right? Poor suspecting Rory McIlroy, a.k.a. Chris Harrison. Jay Moynihan threw him under the bus. Okay.
Okay.
Got all that?
And the PGA Tour tried to quickly, and they were dominating. They played really well. So now all of a sudden, Rory is losing and Brooks Koepka is winning. This doesn't look so good. So again, all of a sudden, we wake up today shell-shocked. Nobody. And this is crazy. In this day and age, Golf Channel, nobody. New York Times, nobody had this story. Nobody had a sniff that this was coming down the pipe.
Was that triggering for you?
Yeah. What was triggering was just the having the rug and the safety net completely pulled out from under you. Hearing one day, I love you, your family, hey, brother, we got you, don't worry, just go say this, just go do this. Rory, be the good guy. You know, trust us. We got you, man. And then you wake up today and you find out on Twitter that all of that was complete and utter bullshit.
100%. So he's comparing
iHeart Media.
And Rory
he's comparing
is now
himself to Rory
to go answer
McIlroy
for his own
yes
words and his own deeds. And they're what the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan's going to back.
So what was that moment for you?
That's Lauren Zima, his fiance.
The moment, everything. Yeah, there was a moment. There was a tipping point when that moment happened for me. I can't get into the details of it,
of course,
but there was one night when that moment happened for me, when I had to say in my own life as my own man with you by my side, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And I am a big believer in you got to pick that hill you want to die on. I picked my hill and I had to make a stand.
So here,
what's he talking about?
He's talking about when he got in. He got ousted as the host. He was a producer on The Bachelor, you know? So yeah. Again, he's the victim again, right? He wasn't the victim sometimes. And sometimes he is the victim. And here he is being a victim. Okay, so here's kind of what is so fascinating is that he starts really, really, really going up to that line of what the settlement. We know he got maybe $10 million for leaving The Bachelor. What that settlement allows him to talk about. He is so angry that he's willing to put all that money on the line to essentially, I don't know if this is like Streisand effect, the Bachelor franchise. I'm not sure if that's a correctly used. He definitely wants to take this to, you know, he's so angry. He's willing to take that to trial, possibly lose that money and tempt luck and like poke the bear to out a franchise that no one cares about except him. You know, it's not going to be some trial of the century. It's such a niche canceling someone angle of the story. I'm telling you, emergency episodes have happened. What the hell does the PGA Live Golf merger have to do with anything except that he cast himself as Rory McIlroy? And the commissioner, Mike Fleiss. I mean, what world?
That's what I was thinking the entire time you were playing the clip. Is I was like, what is he talking? Like, why is this the comparison? Why is he so upset about the golf merger?
It hit him hard. That's the moment. I mean, the description. I'll tell you one more thing. The description in the podcast, like little thing, was. Why would this nearly bring Chris Harrison to tears? Like, we're like, what? Like, you know, even just reading that, I was like, the hell? Is this real? Is this guy just seeing himself everywhere he turns? Like, it's unreal.
It is.
There you go, Craig. There you go. The last thing I'll say is that no other person was at the Bachelor. Oh, no other Bachelor person was at Colton's wedding except Chris Harrison. That's all. That's the last thing.
Well, I'm going to grab my 9/11 Twin Towers Never Forget shirt and set up camp outside the next PGA event here in Southern California.
Yeah. Okay. Don't let them forget what they did with this merger, Craig.
I mean, we aren't supposed to forget, right? They say never forget 9/11.
Craig, this is about money.
Yeah, I mean, I was seeing a lot of jokes about, like, I think they asked some golfer did an interview when they were asked specifically about, like, wait, but aren't the Saudis evil? How can you be okay with this merger? And he gave some weird, like, rambling response that was basically like, maybe we can prevent another 9/11 if we befriend.
Yeah. I read the same thing.
Who said that?
Look at it. I don't remember his name, but it was a golfer who is.
He was like an apologist for 9/11.
Oh, sure.
It was like, I think he said, like, if we merge, then maybe it'll prevent future 9/11s.
Open
think that's
communications.
Which is, like, such a funny thing to say about, like, it's fine for this golf merger to happen because it's going to prevent a future 9/11.
I mean, which is not true, because Russia has taught us that even if you intertwine your economies, they can still go to war.
Okay.
What?
Gotcha, Craig.
What's wrong with that?
I just don't know how relevant that conversation is to the, like, it's not about Chris Harrison. I agree. But it's also not about, I mean, there's antitrust issues at play, first and foremost.
Yeah, but sports get an exemption from that.
Do they?
Well, baseball has an actual exemption, but the other sports, I think the courts just let it happen because they don't care.
There's no courts at this level. These are international corporations. Anyways, I'm just back down to reality, and I am so... where is he going with this? You know, how many big picture things can he cast himself in? Is he also, you know, Tom Cruise? Like, it's just like, where is your head at when you are saying that? You guys are talking about murder, war, oil money. I mean, where is your head at when you're thinking about you? You know?
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison that he put himself into, that apparently he felt so deeply about. Like, the Tom Cruise thing made me be like, okay, I just watched Top Gun Maverick on a plane for the first time.
Oh, yeah?
It was better than I thought it was gonna be. But I'm like, imagine watching that movie and being like, me getting fired from my job is like when Maverick disobeys that admiral in the movie.
Right.
Okay,
Academy
Craig.
Award nominee. Top Gun Maverick, by the way.
For, like, sound editing? Anyway.
No, it was the best picture, wasn't it?
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
I think it was nominated for... I mean, honestly, it was like better now than I would have assumed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't have been the highest grossing movie of the year.
What other podcasts are you listening to?
I've been listening to Survivor podcasts because the most recent Survivor season just ended recently. Here's a fun thing. When this season, so it's season number 44 that just ended, they show like a preview for the next one, which is season 45. Like right in the last episode, they'll be like, this is what's happening in the next Survivor. And you get like a little taste because obviously they're not done editing it and all that kind of stuff. So I finished watching the season and I'm watching the preview for the next one. And I recognized a person in the next one. Like I was like, wait, I know that woman. One of the contestants on the next season of Survivor, I cat sit for her.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I texted her and I was like, I just saw you on TV in the Survivor 45 preview. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so excited you texted me about this.
Huh. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I was like, this is wild. I'm looking forward to watching a person I actually know on reality TV.
Yeah. Huh. That's cool. I know nothing about Survivor personally, but that's still very cool.
I still haven't seen the last episode of Succession, so I'm saving that podcast. It's not a great podcast. There's no what are you talking about, Craig? What do you want to get to?
It's true. We are the only podcast in the world, and I can say this with absolute certainty, that plays clips from the Chris Harrison podcast to make our points. To make your points.
Either he's irrelevant and or he's working hard behind the scenes to become relevant again. And I'm scared the latter is true. He's floating around in irrelevance right now, but I make sure we document on tape, whatever the digital version of tape is, that this is like, what's he doing? What's he up to? What's the plan? I mean, this is just as exciting to me in a way, in a very slow burn kind of way, as a Bachelor is. Okay. Letting it go. Not letting it go. Putting it aside. I am not going to let it go. You know, like, if it was a weak thing and I had to do it, there'd be a lot I could cut out. But there needs to be some kind of running thread for me. And that's the running thread. What's he working on? What's he trying to do? And why is he trying to do it? Why play the sour grapes thing? Like, I mean, why be like, he had some realtor, honestly, third rate selling Sunset person on. And he's like, oh, sales have got to be pretty bad because, you know, everyone's leaving Hollywood. And I'm like, yeah, dude, that's why there's so many empty houses around here. And there's so much, what, like, he's so bitter, so bitter, you know? And it's like, no, they're not. that's like, you know, someone's, anyway, look.
Doesn't he live out in the boonies too?
Like, he lives in Austin. Yes. Who cares? Like, go live your life. You went there because you're upset. And you,
wait, he lives in Austin? I thought he lived in, like, Ventura County.
No, he lives in Austin now because he's so bitter. You know, he's a, quote, Texas boy. He lives in Austin. Okay. You know, he does that all the time. He plays that always. He talks about his Christian faith. But then he does these little back and forths where he's like, you know, people say this. And you're like, what? Who? You? You say that? Oh, not you. You're talking about someone. You know, he does these little back and forths.
That did remind me that Selling Sunset is back, and that's something I'm going to start watching more of. Mm-hmm. The new season is on, and I think I watched the first episode, and it was already insane, so looking forward to more. All right, so do we think that this season is going to be... So, you know, there's been a drop-off in some folks who I'm friends with in watching this show, right? Like, notably, our number one super fan, Jocelyn, still listens to our podcast, but she did not watch Zach's season. And she told me she's not sure if she's going to watch this season or not because she feels like it's been nice taking a break from
the show. Yeah.
No question. I'm curious about, like, do we think this is going to be an enjoyable season to watch? Do we think it's going to, like, change the direction that people have been worried about in terms of, like, dropping ratings, dropping interest?
I think I need the question rephrased.
Okay, what do we think in terms of this season, Charity season? Are we looking forward to this season? Are we excited for it?
Yes.
Do we think it's going to be another? So Zach's season was very much prefaced by people being like, this is going to be boring. He's a boring man, right?
I think we're going to get the same old, we're going to get the same old rhetoric around ratings are down. This is boring. The show needs to stop. It's going to be just as exciting as it always is. And I'll enjoy it. I'm not like you, though. I'm not really looking forward to the golden age Bachelor that's coming up. So I got to put all my eggs in this basket with Charity.
Well, Bachelor in Paradise has got to be happening at some point, right?
Yeah, I think they're filming it now.
Yeah, so I'm like, I think it's going to air in the fall then, I guess. And that's often enjoyable, even if the regular season wasn't.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this season's going to be fine. I don't see how it's going to be any different than any other Bachelorette season that we've ever had. Of course, people are going to, like, constantly be, oh, the ratings are down.
Yes. I am sure that the ratings are not going to look spectacular again, but I think there's also a difference, right, in terms of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette shows, in that even when The Bachelorette is potentially a little bit bland, I feel like people are not as upset about that as they are when The Bachelor is boring, right?
Yeah.
Like, this man is boring, you know,
yeah.
As opposed to being like, I don't know that Charity's particularly exciting or interesting. She's very pretty, and she seemed like a nice person on the show, right? That could be literally anything as the lead. Like, you have no idea what this season's going to be like.
Right.
But I also am not like, wow, what an upsetting, boring Bachelorette, you know?
Yeah, exactly. One other thing we got to talk about is the fact that this season is going to be at 9 o'clock. It's going to be 9 to 11, not 8 to 10.
Whoa, that's well,
I, with my time.
So it means that we can't record. We can't record at like 9 a.m. on Tuesday. Because I'm going to need time to watch it on DVR.
Is that voice supposed to be EZR's voice?
Yes. I'm not staying up till 11 o'clock on a Monday to watch the show. I'm going to be DVRing it and watching it in the morning.
That's his general woman voice. But yes. Okay, well, we'll figure it out later. Don't worry about that.
I mean, does it not signal an end to the show's, like, the decline in the show for it to be on at 9 o'clock?
The thing is, like, again, the writer's strike is going to, if this show was ever going to get canceled, it just got picked up again because of that.
Right.
Yeah, reality TV is going to be the only stuff that can be continuously filming, it seems like. So
good point.
Yeah, I think it's not in danger of being ended anytime soon. I am curious about why the 9 p.m. move. Like, what's on at 8 that's more
important? Oh, it's I had that in my head and then it disappeared. It's whatever was on after it last year. It's coming to me. Hold on. It's the show where they're siblings of famous people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So that's going to now be in, like, the prime time slot, and Bachelorette's going to be after it. Wow, that's a little...
Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's called, like, whatever.
It's like
it's
something
called.
Like All in the Family or something.
That show was... I tried to watch it. It was not claim to fame. It was not good.
Claim to fame. That's it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's why I said it.
Yeah.
Craig.
Claim to fame.
It was not good. I mean, it was just boring. And I don't know half the celebrities they're related to that we're supposed to know. So I was like, huh?
SZA.
There's some people that I did know. Okay. And I'm like, she looks exactly like Whoopi Goldberg. Yes. Okay. You know? The rest of them, I have no idea. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, Craig.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening. And follow us on social media if you dare. And leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app. We always appreciate those. And we'll be back, what, in two weeks, right?
Yes.
Two weeks. We'll be talking about a new episode of The Bachelor.
Et.
Yes. Et. Bachelor/et.
That's what I do. That's what I write.
Proper way to do it. Okay. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.